Yo, what up, though? This is Esham, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
Yo, what up, though, man? This is Big Greg, and you rocking with the Connected Experience.
This is Premium P, and you're rocking with the Connected Experience.
Chill. Oh, yeah, this is Jake Prince coming at you live and in living color, and you rocking with the Connect Experience.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's comedian TK Kirkland, a.k.a. T to the motherfucking K. And when I'm in Detroit, you already know what it is. I listen to the Connected Experience. You should, too.
Connected.
I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
And we the Connected Experience.
Bro, what's a Connected Experience?
It's a lifestyle.
The lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
How that lifestyle treating you?
Man, it always treat me great, man. You know what I'm saying? So, recently, we got our movie on Tubi. Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle.
It's not a movie.
It's not a movie. It's actually an animated movie. An anime movie. You know what I'm saying? So just go to Tubi, type in Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle, animated. It's going to be two rabbits on the cover. Those rabbits are mushroom dealers who looking to avenge the death of their parents. You know what I'm saying? Shit getting wild gully.
Yeah,
it get deep. You know what I'm saying?
Anytime you got to avenge a death, is go get deep.
Yeah,
because if you avenging a death, especially if you a child when it happened, first of all, you got to understand what happened and why it might have happened.
You got to find out, yeah.
Because even though your person got no longer, what if they
My
was
daughter called it oofed.
Yeah, what if they was a slime ball?
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying? Some of you niggas.
Because that's what I tell my kids. Like, listen, I don't care what you do. Just don't never be no slime ball. It's just certain stuff I'm never defending. I said, for example, right? What if you had a son and to your knowledge, he just getting beat up at school, right? And then you talk to him and you find out he breaking in people's lockers. Of course they gonna beat you up.
You deserve a beat down.
Yeah, I'm about to beat you up when we get to the crib. Cause now I look like I raised some type of slime ball.
Thief. Yeah. I don't want my daughter to be no thief.
I don't want nobody to be
What's
no
in your title?
Prodigy, bro. You feel me? And we came to the conclusion that Prodigy started a Versus.
Yeah.
As me and you go live on stage for Dolo.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm
but
saying?
But Jay didn't accept that battle. He didn't accept that live on stage for Dolo. Prodigy next. I'm going to push Jimmy up on Prodigy. Yeah. I wish Prodigy was here. Thanks. Prodigy and Pimp C had an internet in a frenzy. If them niggas was alive.
We was laying in the bed yesterday I just was on some random stuff, right? And I said to my wife, I said, you see what this song called? It was Let Me See It, right? I said, he dissed Master P on this. He's supposed to be talking about vagina.
Right?
Yeah, you feel what I'm saying? She said, what? So I'm just playing it. You feel me?
Hey, bro.
What
like,
goes up? Buzz come down. What's in your title?
Big Pokey and Lil Kiki, man.
That's new.
Yeah, that's brand new. Lil Kiki had released the last freestyle that him and Pokey did together, man. And he actually got footage of the night that Pokey passed in there, too. Some of that stage footage is from that, man. So I'm a super big Pokey fan.
Houston Tech, a.k.a. The Club.
AK for a crutch. I got niggas to touch. Rub my hood on the hutch. Looking for strange and confront me a nigga if he look at me strange. Kidnap niggas' dames. Snatch niggas' change. Put change on brains. It's a fucked up game. I soak up game and give it back to the streets. A nigga who drink bleach, you better stay out my reach.
When I heard that, dog.
Hey, it was over. It was over.
You know
that's on the song with Lil O. That's Thug Niggas Part 2.
Dog, when I heard that verse, I was like, niggas got Houston fucked up.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
And then Lil Kiki always been my favorite.
You know,
back
then, Houston, you only thought about the Ghetto Boys, Willie D, Scarface, if you knew about flipping them. But I was like, these niggas really be rapping. And that's just what when I heard that verse,
because
we had the, you know, we was watching, what was that, the Dirty Third and all of that. But that verse right there, I said, I've been a Big Pokey fan ever since after that. I was sad when he passed away. So rest in peace, Big Pokey. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, Pokey. Kiki. He's been the one. You know
if you don't know who Lil Kiki is, his voice is the most sampled, screwed, and chopped up voice that you've heard. So any song, draped up, dripped out, that's all Lil Kiki voice from freestyles that was on Screw tapes. Like we knew when Screw died. Like we didn't get put up. We had that tape, that videotape where he actually crowned Lil Flip the Freestyle King. You know what I'm saying? We got that.
I gotta find that.
Yeah,
I have to find
when
it. Because that's, I mean, when you buying this stuff when you young,
you don't know that
this is like legendary.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
If you keep this stuff in an age, it's like, dog, I got that, right? Like, I really was watching that on VHS, man. We got a guest, though, man. You know what I mean? Red Karan, man, go ahead and introduce yourself. First of all, we appreciate you coming.
Oh, yeah, because I appreciate you.
Before the mics came on, you was like, man, I've been hearing about y'all for 15 years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's just dope.
That's word to my nigga Antoine. Not this nigga Antoine, but my other nigga Antoine.
And this is why that's dope, right? Because how we actually connected really ain't even from
ain't got nothing to do with that.
So it's like, hey, bro, that's a testament to how long somebody stayed active, but just having a good name. Because if our name was dirty, how we were saying, like, a nigga just be a slime ball, and then, like, the person who connected us, you would have been like, nah, I ain't doing that, because I done heard them niggas slimy.
The quality, the quality of the company you keep.
So introduce yourself, man.
Yeah, I'm Red Karan, man. I wear a lot of hats. I started off as a producer, no longer really wear that hat, but I'm a engineer. I rap a little bit. I just added photography to my
Got the camera with you.
Yeah, I got two cameras with me, but that's my new venture or whatever. I'm new to it, but I'm in love with it just like I was with music.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm an engineer. I've been engineering for, I probably started with Antoine. I think he was the first person I ever recorded. And he rapped over a beat that I had made.
Antoine cold, though.
Yeah, he cold.
Yeah, he rap fast, right?
He could give it to you anyway.
I remember hearing some of his
But the nigga won't rap. He won't rap no more.
You know why, though? Because just like you said about that photography, you got to love it.
Entertainment,
but music specifically, it's a two-way street, right? Because when you a fan of music and you do music, it's hard. Sometimes it get hard for you to love because it's like not even on no like hating or nothing, but it's like you want the type of music that you do to be what's in the forefront, and it just don't be like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why when people get to talking crazy about Detroit rap, I hush that right then. This what they want to hear from Detroit. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
I don't care. This is what the masses want to hear, and the people crown the king, and the people call the shots. Now, if you want to be in the conversation, do what they doing, and then say, see, I can do what y'all do, but y'all can't do what I do, and shift it. But just sitting back on the sideline hating because you mad that this what people want to hear right now ain't going to happen. Because even with Kiwan, right?
Yeah.
Listen, bro, him and my nigga Guap, back in 2018, nobody was rapping like them. We told him, my brother told him, bro, you do easy listening trap music.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? That's what he do now. But that's what he been doing, right? But nah, Kiwan and Guap, everybody sound like that. It was Kiwan, Guap, and Fool Boy Marley. They was so different at the time, and we like, oh, these niggas go blow. you feel me?
And now everybody sound like one version of the three.
Marley can play something, I guarantee he could play something from 2017 and the nigga think it was recorded last night,
right?
Because him, Guap, and Kiwan, that's they style. What's going on is they style. And then even now though, it's evolving with the I mean, people call it drill rap, but Detroit niggas been disrespectful and going crazy on niggas and they raps forever.
No, they have.
You feel what I'm saying?
They have.
But the ones who doing it now though, that's kind of taking a shape too, but that melodic and all of that from here, it was them, man.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, so talk about growing up in Detroit. You come from a household with both parents, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, did you notice the difference in you having both parents and
Before you answer that, though, you know what I really wanted to touch on? That's really not a rarity like people think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I don't think that's a rarity like people think. I think people from watching TV thought that because both parents was there, y'all should live a Cosby lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? But if you really look back, it's a lot of people have two-parent homes than people want to project. You feel what I'm saying? Because I think it was cool to struggle or to say that, like, no, my mom did this on his on their own.
Well, I can speak from my personal observations, man. When I was in school, it was a rarity in my particular friend group because most of my friends, like the people that I was with most of the time, they didn't have a father, specifically a father. So it was a rarity for me. It was kind of strange, and I did notice differences in my friend group. But like you said, when I started moving around, I started meeting people. I did notice, you know, I was meeting people coming from all different types of walks. You know, people was raised by their grandparents, or people was
And even when it be the grandparents, though, it still would be like two. It'd be grandma and granddaddy, you know what I'm saying?
But another thing I'm learning from people, even just my own relatives, like I got cousins that didn't necessarily have their father, but man, you could find, if you want it, if you looking for it, you could find that male role model or in your life or whatever. You could find inspiration from all different places, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I grew up on, I call it the East Side. It's like real, real shallow East. It's like DeQuinder and 6 Mile area. Yeah. It's not really deep East.
Yeah.
Kind of East, kind of North End-ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up over there, man. My father was a street cat.
DeQuinder and 6 Mile over there by the Deja Vu.
Yeah, exactly. My auntie lived right there at Woodward and 6 Mile, so I spent a lot of time over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, dad was a street cat, so he kind of refused to allow me to go down that path. Yeah.
That's
but
dope,
I love that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know so what I'm saying? So I look at that two ways, right? Like, I look at it as if it's the family business and, like,
that's different.
That you know what I'm saying? If it's the family business, then I understand, like, when some kids follow in the footsteps. But I also understand that, like, I'm doing this so you could go to college and be the lawyer because that's also part of the family business. You know what I'm saying?
So how did he discourage you from doing that?
Man, he just was a presence in the household that was feared, to be totally honest. He was he was one of those type of dads that was like, it was no nonsense. He had a fun side, you know. He could be funny, he could be fun, he could be playful and all of that. But when it came time to the shit that he believed in and his principles and stuff, he was not playing. There's no wiggle room really.
Oh,
so
principles, yeah.
So he like you just was talking about, don't be a scumbag.
Yeah.
Don't go to school, be on some bullshit because you're a representation of me.
And I'm going to have to get involved at one point if it go wrong. Ain't no parent going to be like, oh, you got jumped? Oh, we going up there.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out you a scumbag. Like that. I got daughters, and I tell them all the time, listen, first of all, you got to recognize that just because you hang around people, they not your friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff be because of proximity.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So you got to reckon. That's number one.
Proximity and circumstances.
And I'm trying to give you the social cues to recognize that. Mm-hmm. Somebody ain't happy for you, they ain't your friend if it's something simple.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? You got an A on your test? Girl, that's what I'm talking about. You study hard, right? Yeah. But when people don't get those principles, like you said, the first thing you said, he was stern on them principles.
Yeah.
When people don't get principles, you out here blind,
they
man.
Doing anything.
Yeah, trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Because this is what we just was talking about, right? We talk about a rapper, famous rapper, right? We said, see, the thing is, he got, and I'll tell you who off line. I said, he has identity issues, right? He has an identity
multiple personalities.
Multiple personality disorder, right? And then when we go back and we think about it, he was at one point an orphan. At one point he had to live here. Then he had to go there. He don't even know who he is because he always got to try to fit in. So how do you fit in if you don't know who you are? Because you're trying to fit in when you should be trying to stand out. It don't matter where I go. I'm going to stand on these principles, which is just having morals, respect, honor, you know what I mean? Not stealing, just being who I am, and I'm going to attract everybody who I need to be around me because they're going to be like, damn, it don't matter where you're from. You a real person.
You're right.
You feel what I'm saying? So growing up in a household, you the oldest, youngest, where you fit in?
Man, I was the only child for 8 years essentially. But no, technically, I wasn't, right? The 90s, the 80s was a crazy time. My dad had 2 sons. About 3 months apart, 2 different women.
Yeah. How far apart, though, from where y'all live? Like, because y'all over here, is they, like, around a corner, or is they, like, deep west side, deep east side, got one in the middle?
On the east side, my brother was on the west side, Schoolcraft and Southfield. I'm on DeQuinder and 6 Mile. So we would meet up every weekend. You know, we had the visitation type thing going on where he would pick him up. And it's crazy. We used to pick him up every weekend, probably Fridays or Saturday mornings or something. I can't remember. But we would pick him up from 6 Mile and Grand River at the old police station. It used to be a big A-ball.
Oh, this real visitation.
Yeah. Like, we would pick him up from the police station. He would come with us for the weekend, and we would drop him off. That lasted until we was about 5. Then I didn't see him again until I was, like, 28.
Did you know it was him, though? Like, when you seen him, or, like, y'all start getting back in contact?
We met up intentionally because my sister had a baby. He came to the hospital. I came to the hospital.
Yeah.
First time I had seen him in 23 years, bro.
Yeah.
But do y'all look alike and shit?
We do, but he's, like, a little shorter, skinnier than me. But we do look alike in the face. He got a little longer hair. We're literally 3 months apart. His name is Lauren.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we used to meet up at 6 Mile and Grand River. I ended up going to Redford, which is at 6 Mile and Grand River. You know what I'm saying? It was just like my life always seemed to double back on these places that I would frequent and stuff. But anyway, yeah, I was the only child for 8 years of my life until my little sister was born. I was 7 and a half almost to the day she was born. But still, even still.
That's like an only child.
You're still an only child. Because it's like, it's not like I'm running the streets with her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So really, you know, I lived up until probably 13, 14 to where she started to become her own little person. And I had to like share things with a little 6-year-old. But I was the only child for real. The closest thing I had to brothers was my cousins.
Yeah.
I got 2 cousins. One is 3 years older than me. He from Highland Park. And a cousin that's 5 years older than me. He from the Brewsters. But they from these hood places, but they managed to not be like that at all.
Yeah.
So they was kind of my role models. So I would always be doing things. That's one of the reasons why I never really got along with people in my age group necessarily, because I was always with people older than me.
Right.
So whatever they was on, they was always on the thing next. You know, if I'm in the sixth grade, or if I'm in the eighth grade, let's say I'm in the eighth grade and they in high school, I'm more so doing things that high schoolers are doing, because I'm just with them, following behind them all the time. And, you know, versus my peers.
Would you say that was growing up fast, though?
It was. I look at it as a positive. It has a couple negatives, though, because it did make it hard for me to relate to my contemporaries.
I think the biggest negative with growing up with people who are older than you is usually you get exposed to sex sooner than you should.
Man, what, bro?
That's the number one thing.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And then so now you in junior high, they, even if they just in 10th grade, they exposed to sex because 10th graders have sex, and then you thinking about this in 7th grade.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, you cool with it. Ain't no 7th grade. You know, for the most part, like, hey, why you trying to fuck us? You know what I'm saying? And y'all really in the same grade.
Yeah.
But it's like, but I hang with 10th
niggas
grade.
Who haven't said it.
Yeah, so that, I think that's the growing up fast part. You feel what I'm saying? And I just, we grew up fast. You know what I mean?
Super fast.
Super fast. The homies, 5 years older, 7 years older.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then you start.
And we ain't never have a curfew. Like, cause we can always be outside with my cousin. So
then we getting into sex, guns, and rap at the same time.
And we 10
you know
years
what I'm saying?
Old.
And
we 10 year olds, though.
This is like, as a parent, when you looking back, it's like, my daughter who 8, she like, I'll be 10 soon, baby, just be 8, then be 9. When you get to 10, just be 10. Don't rush it. You feel what I'm saying? Cause that lead to trouble. We was in trouble early. You know what I mean? My first real charge in the 8th grade, we was in Taylor. They hit me with extortion. They hit me with like mob charges. Yeah, they just trying to do me dirty. You know what I'm saying? But I'm because
we was getting
cool.
money from white girls and beepers and shit like that.
So you hear the word extortion at that like, age. Yeah. What do you even?
But we
do?
Don't even understand what that means.
We got to look it up though. We got to. Like, my mom like, you need to look that up. Like they trying to send you to jail. Like they trying to ruin your life right now.
You said from Taylor, y'all from downriver?
We from Inkster, baby. So.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. I know some cats from Inkster too.
Yeah. But that's what. But we went to school in Taylor. We went to Hoover.
Well, we got kicked out.
And we got kicked out though because my mama like, I can't even. First of all, they went to school. My mom and them from Westland across the street from Inkster, but you went to Taylor Schools, which I always thought was weird, right? So they like, y'all go to school over here. You know, my uncles and them got like a basketball name and basketball. So
football, my Uncle Michael played football.
Shit, my auntie played girls football, Power Puffs or some shit it was called. They had a girls football team, weird though, with pads and everything.
Yeah.
So we like, okay, we gonna go here, probably be on the basketball team, you know, because you done been on the basketball team since elementary, but they just was trying to do us dirty, man. But see, we was hanging with older niggas, so a lot of this game and shit we getting from rap music, Too Short, you know, Pimp a Bitch, and You Find a Hoe That's Green. This is all what we listening to. So this all, a bitch say she like me, nigga, but it's a fee. You understand what I'm saying? So they ain't got no money.
Hey, y'all
so
niggas out cold.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, growing up fast. Yeah, so you got to pay the fee. What's the fee? What can you afford? I need a beeper, right?
I had a white girl who brought me $20 every day since the day I met her in a pack of Blue Starbursts. From September until December when we got kicked out of school.
You see what I'm saying?
Every day.
Took
us Christmas shopping, had to bring some of her girls for the other homies. Like,
right. See, because
you made 4 figures off her. You made a couple $1,000 off her.
But that's real warping talk. Your mind and growing up fast.
Too fast. Because the homies is like, oh, yeah.
They champion that. And like, it's like, damn, I wish a nigga would have championed me to be a motherfucking anything else.
Right. So you look at that with regret now? Not regret.
No, they didn't know no better. When you say you hanging with them, that's why I know what it brings.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell my kids and stuff like that, hey, man, just be whatever
a kid
you
are. Because they didn't know no better. And then when they, when they found out, we was front line already. Like, y'all learning to be front line. We front line with y'all. We got our own guns. We got our own drugs. We got our own money.
And when you're looking at it like it's cool. So when you say your cousin, I'm like, no, we not going to become this. It's like, I'm happy that people had that mentality.
Yeah, because they was good guys, but nobody ever put it to me like that. Like, being around people that's older than you, it speeds up your process.
Yeah.
Because I think about my own kids, man. I got two sons, and they only 5 and 6, but they really just be with each other. They don't really got no older cousins. They got a cousin that's maybe 1 year older, but, you know, I'm watching them grow up, and I'm watching them remain kids at their age.
You feel what I'm saying?
And that's what I intend to make. You know, I want to keep them on that path. I was on some, man, bruh, I done been some places. I remember being like 10, 11 years old, maybe 12 years old. Do you know what Ozfest is, bro?
No, what's that?
It's a festival for rock music. Ozzy
Osbourne. Oh, yeah. You went to that?
Man, I went to that at 12, bro.
But see, that's different, though, because that's
an experience.
That generation and the families be there, too. You wasn't the only 12-year-old there.
For sure.
I don't know, I know I seen some shit I wasn't supposed to see.
Because it's grown up.
So that's the thing with it being a festival. Like, no, you wasn't the only 12-year-old, but you might be the only 12-year-old over here while they... Freaking off, man.
I seen some shit, boy.
Who took you to that?
But that was my older cousin, one of my older cousins hung with some dudes in high school. He went to King, but they was kind of the nerdy, weird crowd. You know what I'm saying? And one of the homeboys was real deep into rock music.
Yeah.
So when that popped up, it was in Clarkston at a ETE. So we went out there. He had bought tickets, so we kind of just went with him.
Yeah.
I'm the little cousin. He's like, you want to go? I'm like, I guess.
Yeah. I don't even know if I want to go.
I should have never went to no shit like that. But I had fun.
Yeah, but you can say you've been there.
Yeah, but I can say I've been there twice, too. Yeah. But looking back at that shit, I'm like, dog.
I should have been there at 12.
No way I should have been there at 12. I think I went at 12 and 13 or something like that.
Yeah, so you fucked with it enough that you're like, all right, I'm going next year. But with something like that, like, that's like a nigga being at Woodstock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you ain't supposed to be there at 12.
No, but that's like, and your mama trust who you going with off rip. So
I don't think she know I went to that shit. I know my auntie probably know because, like I said, man, I used to always be in my cousin's house. That was my, those was my brothers.
Yeah.
So I would be at his crib. We left from his house. My mama probably still don't know that I ever went to no shit like that. But his mama probably co-signed it. Or maybe she didn't, because he was 18. I was 13.
Yeah.
So he grown technically.
He could go,
So he ain't got to ask for permission, but he brought me.
Yeah. My older cousin Black used to take us, like, one time we walking through Fairlane Mall. And he smoking weed, and we want to hit the weed at the bar too. Yeah. And they chased us out that bitch. The security chased us out. But
I forgot that it was us, Black, ourselves,
Radio.
The other reason they started telling niggas they couldn't be in there past 5 o'clock.
Man, we 10, 11 year old. We doing shows. We doing all of that. Like, we never had to be in the house. So, like, the thought. And then by the time we 14, 15, we living on our own. Basically, we ain't never hearing no. You can hang out in this bitch all night. It's drugs, it's liquor,
weed and shit.
Yeah, well, because now when you say that, it sounds
too creepy.
The niggas we with is, if we 15, 16, they 21, 22.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we driving to high school, we doing all of that, just being grump, carrying guns. The first night the seatbelt law got changed in 2000, no, it was 99 when the seatbelt law got changed, where you had to wear your seatbelt, we riding around with guns, no seatbelts on.
Shit.
You know what I mean? Believe it's real, huh?
Y'all 88, 87?
82.
82? Oh, y'all older than me? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought because of you knew Antoine, you probably might have been the same age. I didn't know how y'all knew each other, though.
But we met at the job.
So, yeah, y'all was outside.
Yeah,
y'all was
in real talk.
Nigga, it really wasn't even no such thing as playing basketball indoors back when we was coming up. You had to play outside. Only niggas played indoors was on teams.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Not everybody just... training.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, but again, if you that much older than somebody and you kind of got a good sense, like, you supposed to steer them away from that.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? It's no, it's because it's no such thing as like putting on for the hood to me. Like, I'm that I look back, like, those are all traps to get you trapped.
Those
you
are
end up in a system and shit like that. So it's like, no, you supposed to be like, damn, you smart. You ever thought about college? You know, you should be preparing for this, homie. I mean, if you a ladies man, you a ladies man. That don't got nothing to do with street allure or nothing that. Like, oh, yeah, just, you know, kind of fuck with the women, and but don't get in no trouble. Like, you don't need to get nobody
pregnant.
As your hand game good. You know, because you go, if you a ladies man, you go come in contact with a hater, just put the beats on one nigga. It only take one fight for real. You can fight a nigga in sixth grade and be good through high school.
You feel
what I'm saying? So it's like, that's just how I feel like you should steer people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like, oh, no, you like this. Like, you should look in, especially not looking at computer engineering, like, you know, learn how to code.
That's the conversation that be coming up around gang culture. I mean, it's negative. It's pros and cons to gang shit, but I like when I hear the stories about, like, when you see somebody that's promising and the gang be like, no, leave that nigga alone. He don't got to do none of this shit.
Well, with gang culture, though, the misconception about gang culture within the culture is that everybody has to be violent.
Right.
If gangs ran themselves, which some do, like real governments and neighborhood, like if they ran the neighborhood like a government, then they would accept that he does this, he does this.
We got departments.
Like everybody's not a rider.
He in the social media department.
Exactly.
It don't matter how hard you is in the neighborhood. Hey, bro, the internet like him.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It is what it is. The internet like dude. So if he funny, put him, everybody in the gang should be putting him on their story.
Yeah, so if they ran more like governments, because that's what they are. Like, I'm not against gangbanging because it's tribalism, and
it's
and you go find your tribe. Like, right, you come from a tribe in Africa, so if you look at old African pictures and all of that, you see a bunch of dreadlocks and AKs and all of that, and you'll be like, "What the fuck?" And then it's like, "Oh no, dog, that's from the 1970s, the such and such tribe, they look just like gang. What they would call gangs. You know what I'm saying?
Even you go 700 years ago, if you was a Zulu, you born into that shit. You don't get to choose.
You know
what I'm saying?
You
don't
get to choose, and they got different departments. We know Shaka Zulu because he the best warrior. But he was fighting for a kingdom, so somebody was like, "No, you the best warrior.
You the accountant. You this. You that." And I think because it's all tribalism, and I think that that's how it should be ran.
So, that's a fact.
So was it one of your older cousins how you got into music and music production and stuff like that?
No, man. So one of the dudes I went to school with, I went to a school called Duffield, right downtown. It's near Shane and Jefferson area.
Yeah.
One of my homeboys, his older brother he made beats. So his younger brother kind of naturally attached to that. And he used to come to school and just be talking about it. Well, at first it kind of started off as just general music talk. We used to talk a lot about beats, though. Timbaland, you know, Pharrell, Neptunes back then, you know, all kind of stuff like that. But he knew way more than me.
Yeah.
And then we start talking about making beats because that was something he did. And I kind of mimicked him a little bit. I got curious, like, damn. So the older cousin that we talking about, he ended up getting a computer for his birthday. Or for Christmas, I'm sorry. Christmas of 2001.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't really so much on it as much as I wanted to be. I got on there and I just started looking up how you make beats.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know because I don't know if there was a Google in 2001.
It wasn't Google.
Right.
It wasn't Google.
Had to be Yahoo or something.
Yep. Yep. Jeeves.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how niggas used to move on the internet back then.
that sound crazy because we've been using it so long.
Right.
Like, that shit was brand new.
Tell one of your kids it wasn't no YouTube, they gonna swear you
right.
Were lying.
Ain't no such thing. Yeah. But I remember just looking it up. Like, I remember searching and I found some little rinky-dink programs. I ended up finding Fruity Loops. Now they call it FL Studio. And I just started messing around, bro, and I never stopped.
Yeah.
So if he got the computer 2001, this probably happened early 2002.
Yeah.
So I started making beats. I just was on there teaching myself. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm realizing it's patterns.
Yeah.
Figuring out the pattern, then you figure out tempo, how to change the speed of it. And I'm just tinkering for months and months and months. And then eventually I'm like, well, damn, I know how to make beats now. I asked for my own computer the very following Christmas.
Yeah.
My mom's was like, shit, you know, I'll make it happen, but we wasn't up like that.
Because computers used to be expensive.
Man, they was $2,000 or something back then, and that's a lot of money in 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
But she got me one. She ordered from the Dell catalog.
Of course it was a lot of money because the number one at McDonald's was $3.17.
Oh, my God, tax. Bro.
You feel what I'm saying?
So and I'm old enough to be, I know, I remember that.
You feel what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Yeah. She got it for you, though.
She got me a computer, dog, and I was so happy. That's probably one of the best Christmases I can remember.
Yeah.
But once that was on, because it was at this point, the only time I could make beats is when I went to his crib.
Time. Yeah.
But now I got some at the crib. So every day I'm coming home from school, I'm walking in, throwing my book bag on the floor, and I'm on that every day. And that was a strange time in my life because that was the same time in my life where I moved from the East to the West. I got disconnected from everybody I knew.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave me even less of a reason to be outside because in the old neighborhood, I knew everybody.
Right.
Yeah. What made the move happen?
Man, that's a long story too, but it was like some inner family war between my dad and my mom's brothers. Brother.
That's my uncle. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's the
worst. And you know why that's, I don't think nothing crazy did come up because I was just talking about that. I said to, I was talking to my wife, I said, that's the worst position you want to be in,
man,
when your spouse or your boyfriend or something got an issue with your brothers because
that's hard.
It's never going to stop.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? It's like
as long as we got kids.
Yeah, that is I said
you don't
just
want
imagine,
nothing to happen to nobody.
Right. I said, just imagine one of your brothers say something to me and I just knock his ass out. I said, our kids there. And I ain't got no problems with my brother-in-laws. I'm just saying, I just was explaining to her. I said, just one day we talking, he say something I don't like and I just knock his ass out.
Yeah.
His son there, our girls there. It's just gonna be. It's too much. Yeah, that's why I make sure not to argue and shit with my in-law.
And that's what my dad said. Because I mean, so another thing that I did recently that was kind of interesting was with these cameras. I sat down and I started interviewing family.
Yeah.
Just getting the counselors, just all the shit I've been hearing over the years, but like getting both sides. I kind of understand why the rift happened in certain ways and why there was tension between my dad and her brothers and even her father at some point, little ways. But my dad was like, exactly what you just said, like, man, I don't want nothing to happen to nobody. And I don't really, like, how am I going to look if I was to do something to her brother?
How can I come back for if I come oof her brother?
Yeah, yeah.
What position do that put her in? I can't trust you now.
What
because,
are we going to do? Right.
Yeah, like.
So that's why we ended up just packing up because we literally lived next door to one of her brothers.
Yeah.
In her father's house, though. It wasn't my dad's house.
Yeah.
So that was even more of a reason for them to be like, y'all got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So my dad ended up basically packing us up and moving us to the west side in the house that he owned, that he had my brother in prior. But he ended up not being there no more.
Yeah.
That's another long story. But we ended up moving into that house on Schoolcraft. So now I'm in the neighborhood. I don't know nobody.
Yeah. And you old enough that, nigga, you from a different hood.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm right. I'm 13. Man, I remember moving. I remember because I'm going to Redford High School.
Yeah.
I remember taking a bus home, and it was just a different world. The way niggas move. The way the
shit looked.
The lines, the way the shit looked. It's like because you had to learn the culture over there. What gangs belong to what hood?
Yeah.
Why is these niggas mad at these niggas? And then you like,
I ain't got shit to do with this.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what lines not to cross. I live on Schoolcraft, so that automatically. Man, I remember one time I was standing at the bus stop in front of Redford. This big nigga, it had to be like 4 or 5 years older than me, walk up to the bus stop. He asking every nigga in the line, where you from? And he get to one nigga. I'm just listening because I'm nervous a little, but I'm holding my composure.
I'm up next, nigga.
That nigga, like, he like, I'm from 6 Mile, but I don't bang, no. Like, he made sure he punctuated it with that. He never got to me.
Yeah.
Because I think the nigga end up just locking in on that nigga or something. But I remember just, like, I never experienced that type of shit on the East Side, dog.
Right, yeah.
Because that's not really how the East Side is. It's like, I mean, I guess it is now, especially with the all the 6 Mile, all that blood shit, and you know, but back then, it was like, nigga, you from this hood, you from this hood. But I was always insulated because I knew everybody in my hood, so I never got no problems.
Right,
my
niggas coming at the bus stop, asking, nigga, where you from,
what
nigga?
The fuck type of shit is this?
So, California shit, nigga.
And then, I don't know if y'all, because y'all from Inkster, I don't know if y'all knew the politics
because you with the rapper, nigga.
I had the baddest cheerleader
in the PSL who was the rapper.
Let me
Inkster nigga had that.
Let me finish my sentence. I don't know if y'all knew the politics between Redford and Ford.
just some high school beef though, right?
Yeah, but but a lot of times niggas would get kicked out of Ford, come to Redford or vice versa. So it was always beef around that shit. Yeah, and then so I'm just in here. Bro. But yeah, so I'm 13, 14, 15 running through these hoods. And it gave me even more of a reason to be in the crib.
I'm just going to go make some beats.
So I just start making beats. Yeah. And I locked in. Like Kanye say, 5 beats a day for 3 summers or whatever he said in that song. That was me for real. I was making beats, even though I was super duper trash in the beginning. I was making
beats.
It was just a determination. I was like, I got to figure this thing out. Like, yeah. I don't know what it's going to become. And I was so, I don't know, antisocial that I never even shared my music with many people at all. And I think that stunted my growth in this music too, by the way.
Because you got to be sociable.
You got to be sociable.
Yeah, this is, you could work by yourself, but this is a game that you got to.
Music is a communal thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was always making beats, but I was hiding them from people. But people would always find out one way or another. And then people start telling me like, oh, your beat's kind of sweet, bro. Let me rap on them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, maybe I do got something. You know, it encouraged me to just keep going. But that eventually turned into me rapping 10 years later, but I started rapping out of necessity.
Most producers rap, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I learned that later.
Because even if I rap on this beat, it's really to showcase what can be done on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
exactly. That was
Kanye
exactly
being
why.
A good rapper, but then like other people writing some of the material, that don't surprise me. Because he's
a real producer.
So I just want to let you know that this beat can be turned out.
I'm so glad y'all understand
turn it
that.
Out.
And then because, bro, we used to listen to Quincy Jones records, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's the ultimate producer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So like when we little and we love the fucking Loonies and Yuck Mouth is on the Quincy Jones project, like, oh, producers bring people in.
Yeah.
They go, you know what I'm saying? Like
they're curators.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So who was you listening to production wise that not you was getting your style from, but you just like.
You was getting your inspiration from, not your style.
Man,
you hear a beat and be like, oh, I need to go practice.
So I started hearing about Kanye before people really knew who he was. I don't even know how. I think some of my older homies who was real deep, they probably was reading The Source and shit back then. And they mentioned Kanye to me. And I started peeping his beats. I remember he had a song on Scarface album. It was that Cold Blood.
You talking about On The Fix.
Yeah, The Fix. He had the Cold Blood joint. I remember hearing that beat. I remember when he popped up on Jay-Z albums in the beginning. I remember him working with, you know, Talib and all of them niggas early. But he wasn't really a face yet.
Yeah.
This was kind of early. But
they was actually hiding him now that you look back.
Yeah. Intentionally. But I started peeping this production. And another group that I was paying real close attention to was the Heatmakers. Because Dipset was going crazy at this time.
Yeah.
So I like samples.
Yeah.
So listening to Kanye, the Heatmakers, and then eventually even Just Blaze, I started listening to sample beats. And that's when I start having my mom buy me CDs. I ain't know nothing about vinyls or how to even get a vinyl into the computer. You know what I'm saying? But I know this computer got a CD player. So my mom would always shop at Target or whatever. I'm like, man, I'm going to the CD section. And I used to be in the classical section just buying Tchaikovsky or Beethoven or Bach or whatever because I'm just looking for samples. But it's almost like inadvertently – it made me study that shit too.
Yeah.
Then I started finding out about Curtis Mayfield, Willie Hutch, whoever, you know, Marvin Gaye. Even at first it was very surface shit, like Luther Vandross, like the stuff that was on the radio. But then I started digging deeper and deeper, studying.
In the crates, yeah.
Yeah, studying and studying and studying. Then I found these websites where I could download MP3s from or whatever, and I started sampling like crazy.
Cause you ain't gonna get a better sample than number 8 on a CD. You feel what
You're
I'm
right.
saying? On a
right.
big, on somebody like a Willie Hutch. Everybody know not the single, but a lot that one
cuts.
Is number 8.
Them
you
deep
feel
cuts.
What I'm saying? And they playing it like crazy. I could grab this right here.
That's a fact.
On my drums on it.
That's a fact.
And get that less than 3 seconds that it gotta be.
Yeah. I got a story. The first time I ever heard about y'all, I gotta ask y'all this to y'all face.
Yeah.
Antoine was telling me this story about y'all bumping into Russell Simmons?
Russell Simmons, yeah. It wasn't a bump into. It was actually.
He was with the nigga all I got some unreleased because we just told him we wouldn't release it. He was on the radio
with Mason.
With Mason in the morning.
Okay.
And he had his whole own team and everything. They wasn't filming. I'm the only person who filmed it because we was talking off camera.
Oh, y'all got
camera.
Film of it?
Yeah, it's on one of my old computers, but we told him, like, we won't release it. Yeah. And my homeboy Ty hooked that up. Ty Hopkins, you know what I mean? That's bro. We was because we was making our record made in the '80s, and we had a sample owner, Run DMC sample,
yeah.
And other rappers can't stand us, but give us respect. And we used that, and the song was so hard, and we was like, we got to get this to Russell because
he actually produced it.
He produced the record. He got production credits on that day record, and we was like, he either go shut it down or he go.
But either way,
inadvertently give us his blessing, which is saying he give it a deny. He liked the song, so we had the shirts made in the '80s. Ty like, Mayor, my man, like, I know, like, next time Russell come, we go see if we could go. It's like 12 at night. Ty call is like, can y'all meet me at 5 in the morning? We going to the radio. Yes.
If, damn.
You know, yes, it don't matter where you say we go.
Y'all ever told this story on here before?
I mean, we tell business pieces of it. You feel me? So we go to the radio station. Me and Ty work at Puff Riz. We work at the one in Ipsy.
I work at the one in.
You work at the one in Wayne. So we go to Mason in the morning when he was on, they was on at the radio station on Jefferson. So we go, and Eric Williams come too. That's who owned Puffer Reds. And Eric is on the radio. And then, bro, it was like nothing I ever seen before. And what I mean by that is early as hell. He come in, he got 10 people with him.
Moving like a well-oiled machine.
Moving like a well-oiled, a nigga yawned. He said, you go sit in the lobby.
Damn.
It's nigga, it's 6 o'clock. Well, I don't know what time they supposed to have been up. It shouldn't be. He told the nigga to go sit in the lobby. Like, go sit in the lobby, man. You can't be in here yawning. And we like.
And we got the conversation with Eric and Russell Simmons having on the radio station with Mason. And then we give Russell a shirt. We give him a made CD.
Remember, we trying to get denied because we like, this going to be our big record. This our best record to date. This our best album.
Made in the '80s. Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So we like, at this time, we like, yo, we about to blow with this shit. But we like, in the back of our mind, like, if we blow and he shut this shit down, it's off of nothing. And he took the record because he was out the record business by now.
Yeah, we're not even giving this to him to help.
You know what I'm saying?
We giving it to him because we really want you to listen.
To hear it,
we want you to hear it.
So
there's nothing you could
hear. And then they do their thing. He was out there doing a book. So he was out there with one of them vegan books. That's why he here. And that's at 6 a.m. He do a book signing later at the Barnes & Noble that was on Ford Road. My cousin is the first nigga in line at the book signing. My cousin mentioned us, like, I seen you was with the twins earlier. My cousin, like, you was with the twins earlier? That nigga, like, oh, yeah. I know what you talking about. Yeah, I like them little dudes. Them little dudes gonna be something, right?
Yeah.
Like, 2 months later, Mayor hit Ty with a picture. Russell working out in the Made in the 80s shirt.
Damn.
Doing yoga, right? And then he said, tell him he heard the record. He liked it.
And that was it. That was good enough.
That's all we need to know. So,
but he told me something about clearing the sample, and he said something to you like.
No, that's what I'm saying. We didn't want him to clear it or not. It was just the fact that we wanted him to hear the sample. Because
you know, if you sell under 10, well, this is how it used to go. Music laws changed. If you sell under 10,000 units,
you don't,
have to clear the sample
unless
the person pushed for that.
But our whole thing was if he stopped this,
we could get the press off of
that. We go get the press off of that.
You know
what I'm saying?
It's
going to look either way. Either you going to like
win.
It. Yeah, so we had a list of people who we just wanted to hear our album, not even help us or none of that. We just wanted them to hear it because it was inspired by certain shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
and that this was the first song on the record. So we like, if he, we like, he can shut it down. And then
that's a good look for us,
big.
Too.
Because now people going to be like,
why you shut it down?
What is this? Why you shut it down? But he was like, tell him we heard the record. We like it. You know what I'm saying?
But shit like that happens to us all the time, bro. If we say we go, like, what was this, 2015 when we dropped Chewy?
Yeah, it was.
So in 2015, we shoot a movie in Hollywood. And
it's a short.
It's a short. You know what I'm saying?
And shorts really never make money. People usually shoot shorts to try to get a budget.
So we shoot a short in Hollywood. We go back out to Hollywood to have a premiere at the, what was that, Columbia Film School?
Yeah.
At the Columbia Film School, because the director went to the Columbia University Film School, right? So before we leave, we tell everybody, like, oh, no, man, we bumping in a day. Dash. Now the big thing about this is we releasing this direct to consumer, and we so
this
we're
is before anybody
this
doing
is
it.
Before anybody is doing it. So the only way you would be able to see this movie is if you went to haveyouseenchewy.com
and you pay $5 and then we'll shoot you a link. Film, but you can't download it. We'll shoot you a link. And we made it where you couldn't download it so people wouldn't bootleg it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
We could get all the accounting, and now we got your email address. And when we having special merch, you know what I'm saying? Now we got anybody's doing this. We building the information.
You compiling your.
Yeah, right. Because you already liked it enough to pay $5. It's a short. You can stop the link twice. Right?
Before
it expired. Yeah. So you got it, but you can stop it twice.
It's like a limited view link.
Yeah, yep. So we get the website built and everything. So it's direct to consumer. So we like, whoever buy it had to want to buy it. You know what I'm saying? So, because we working on our marketing too. So we got shirts. It's about a dog. So we got shirts that say, have you seen Chewy? Because with your information, now we going to let you know that these shirts available.
Blah, blah, blah.
But at the same time,
Spike Lee and Dame Dash is getting a bunch of hype
that they about to go direct to consumer.
Yeah.
This is the go be. So we thinking it's going to be the crazy new thing.
I remember, I'm sitting here trying to think of this website that used to have indie movies on it. It was strictly for that.
Yeah.
And the first movie I bought was a Dame Dash movie.
Yeah, it was his shit. It was his site. He was building the site. So we like, no, we go bump into Dame like real
because
niggas
we know the nigga who cut his hair.
So we like, invite real him out. Niggas unite, you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
We know his barber. Well, I know his barber. I'm on the internet going. Well, it was it. What was it? MySpace.
Early Instagram.
Oh, it was early Instagram. So we invite him and his barber out to the movie premiere. You know what I'm saying? Long story short, they couldn't make it. Right. So we on the way back. We in the airport, and this nigga like, hey. This nigga Dame.
Well, this with that, when we walk in it, you been to LAX before?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know it's huge. LAX is one of them airports, nigga. Yeah. You should really be there
3 hours. 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's
fact.
The traffic. So it's just super busy. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. It's super busy, bro. When we walk in, now we walk in together.
They say one of us up.
You got to go that way. You got to go that way. We like, we together. They like, if y'all trying to get through the airport, that's how many people it is.
Yeah.
But they doing this to everybody.
Yeah.
If y'all a couple with a baby, who taking the baby? You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So he go this way. He get to the gate. I got to go up, around, past customs. I go a long ass way, dog.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Damn, I'm standing at the top. Nigga, I look down. It's Dang. It's his girl. He got four women with him. And they coming through. I say, nigga, I call him nigga. I just seen him. But they went the way he went. We get through. I go to customs, through customs.
Security.
I go through security around the customs way. But I see, we see a brother. You feel what I'm saying? Who travel, if you know what that mean. And, they say, don't leave your bags and shit.
Yeah.
And my man see we travel and shit. And we like, listen, man, this our gate, man. But I think I left something. I got to go back. He like, I got y'all. We turn around. We go. Soon as we go around the corner, here he come. You feel what I'm saying? Matter of fact, he was going to Washington, D.C. This when him and Kanye got back cool. And there was something on BET that they was taping. And when his tooth was messed up, remember his tooth was messed up? And him and Kanye had just got back cool. And we took the picture. He like, I'm going to post this on my Instagram. He like, how y'all releasing this? We like, direct to consumer. It come out on November because my partner had died.
It came out in January.
Yeah, it come out January 24th. Because my homie had died. That's his birthday. He like, damn, y'all did it before me. Salute. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, it just be flashes in the pan, but to me, that's like, y'all on the right path. Keep going.
You feel
what I'm saying? And you kept going, though, because you mentioned Twine, and then you also do some work with Kiwan. You his engineer?
Yeah, man, I've been recording Kiwan maybe 4 or 5 years now.
Quarter Key, I'm sorry.
Quarter Key. I ran into him. I don't know how I think they found me, man, to be honest. I think his man's Mike found me.
Yeah.
And I think they came together, something like that. This was a while back, though, probably 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, but yeah, I've been recording him, and I like working with them. That's probably one of my favorite clients to have in the studio, because they just come in, they kind of just freestyle, go off the soul, go off the feeling in the room.
And he said feel, that. That's exactly how he said it before, too.
It feel organic. They don't really, like, they might think of something, like a little bop to the beat, like a little cadence or even just a small hook, but they just freestyle the whole time. And it makes me feel like a part of the process, because even sometimes I might throw a word or a sentence out there and I'm just trying to capture the magic. That's my job, you know what I'm saying? As an engineer, it's like, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to catch lightning in a bottle. I'm a therapist, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I'm a motherfucking producer too, for real, you know what I'm saying?
Because I actually think engineers should get producer credit, because the engineer go put it together.
Man,
when you leave, when the artist leave, especially an engineer they locked in with, they come record with you, and then you send it this how that sound.
Yeah.
Because you putting it there, you finding the pockets. Even though he might have said this seven bars over here, no, that should go right here. It's like a puzzle, bro.
And I've done shit like that. I'll rearrange a song, or I'll take a line and repeat it at the end to kind of make a little catchy bridge or hook or something.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, shit, I'm rocking with it. They don't, most of my favorite artists are the ones that kind of
open to production.
Man.
Like, so that's producing records is so the engineer is so much like Mixed by Ali. Yeah. Ali do everybody shit in the industry now, right, bro? Yeah. And he doing some big shit in the Congress and shit too, with laws and shit for music. But Mixed by Ali, like, he started out, he a TDE guy.
Shit, technically I work for him, because I'm on Currently? Engineers. He got a website.
Oh, that's his website, yeah.
Yeah, I've been on there for about going on a year now.
You knew that?
What, about Mixed by Ali?
No, that he was on there?
No, I'm just saying, when we're talking
about that in the buyout.
No.
Yeah, cause, I mean, because you know something. Yeah. That's dope that he know. Yeah, but you know, Mixed by Ali is that nigga.
And he do the whole industry now, bro. Like, he does the whole industry. And you know that that's him rearranging, making, hey, switch that word. Or it's computer day now. So you could, this should sound like this. And you send your shit off to a guy like that, and you know the quality you got. Like, he's probably getting producer credits.
Yeah.
Like,
so now talk about, at one point your studio had got shut down. Like, what happened with that?
Man, that shit was crazy. So there was a building that used to be on Michigan and Rosa Parks, right there in Corktown.
Yeah.
It was a building. I had met this girl through my baby mama, this lady named, well, I ain't even gonna say her name, but she's.
You feel like she wronged you?
And did no,
you
no,
feel,
no. This lady.
I was about to say, you feel like people
wrong.
Be warned. Okay.
But she had a space in this building. She was just a tenant, right? So she kind of. Against her, yeah, she subleased. She wasn't supposed to, but she did it. She gave me the biggest space out of her space, because she had three rooms in this building. She gave me the biggest room, gave me a low price, because I was having trouble finding a space at this time.
Yeah.
I was looking all over. I was on 7 Mile and the Lodge. I went all over the city looking for spots. Everybody wanted super high rates. She gave me for a dirt cheap rate, had my own key, all that shit. She gave me the keys to the building, literally. Yeah. I'm in this motherfucker for a year and a half, 2 years.
So it's rocking. You done got your clientele used to where you at.
So here's why I think what happened next might have been manufactured.
Yeah.
I having a get together in the studio for the fireworks, because it has rooftop access.
Yeah.
You can climb through the window. It wasn't technically rooftop access. You climb through the window, you get to the roof, you get a beautiful view. It's in Corktown, so it's pretty close to the river,
close.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we all there. I end up having to leave my baby mama car breakdown. I have to leave all of my people there to go get her and come back. In the time of me leaving, the lady that owns the building, she's not even from America.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen this lady before this day. She shows up.
And it's a party.
And it's a bunch of niggas in here that she ain't never seen before. This lady, like,
all on the roof and shit.
She like, who the fuck is y'all? I'm calling the police. My man's calling me like, yo, you need to hurry up and get the fuck back here right now. So I'm like, damn, what you talking about? He like, some lady showed up and she's telling us to get out. I'm like, what lady? I'm like, you talking about the lady I rent the space from? He's like, no.
No, we know
her. I shoot back. The lady in there tripping. I end up calming her down. I even hugged her and everything. She was like, it's cool. You know, just, y'all got to still get the fuck out of here, but it's cool. A few months later, we get a letter, and it's like, It says, it looked like official document, but it says something about the building being condemned. Like there was some sort of cancerous gas off. Yeah, like some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
And the lady, I mean, the letter's basically saying, you got 3 months to get your shit out of here. It's over.
Yeah.
But then the lady I was subleading from tells me that this lady is a lawyer.
Yeah, so she
this shit fake, dog.
Yeah.
That's my guess of this day. I have no proof of that.
Yeah. Your heart, you got the proof.
Yeah.
Facts. Because I'm like, she a lawyer. She know the language. She know what these documents look like.
Yeah, and she know that we probably don't. And we ain't about to go run off. So what you working on now before we get up out of here? What you got going on?
Man, right now, man, I'm just, I've been working on this project where I've been doing a compilation of all my artist music. It's called Babylon. Every year it's going to change. This letter, the first one and the latest one, Babylon 23, I put together all the best music that I recorded and mixed from all my favorite artists in the studio into one compilation of 20 songs just so I could showcase all my, you know, my work and their work.
That's dope.
I'm on this photography thing, man. I just did my first paid gig as a photographer at the Marble Bar. I did some BTS with my man Demasio. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm kind of got my hands in a lot of pots, but I'm just trying to be creative, man, and continue to make money off of it. And that's about it.
And shout your sons out. You said them, but just shout them out, man, because I know being a father, especially when you're active, that's a special thing.
Yeah, my son Egypt, that's my oldest son. He was born in 2017. He looked just like me and everything. And then my youngest son, Cairo, he looks like me too. But
Cairo, Egypt.
Yeah, Cairo and Egypt. Yeah. And he looks like.
Why you picked them names?
Me and my baby mama kind of picked it, and we kind of toiled back and forth about what we was going to name because we wanted strong names.
Yeah.
Another thing, I like names. Like, I got a little cousin named Brooklyn, and yeah. I like names locations. Man, my dad said he grew up with a dude named Germany.
Yeah.
He was a street cat too, but Germany, that's like, it's unique. It's got ties to something that's real, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Egypt was like, I'm like, I love that name. I think one of them, Salt and Pepper, one of them, they named their daughter that.
Yeah, her name Egypt.
Pepper named her daughter Egypt, yeah.
That's her daughter with Tretch.
You know what? And what's her name? Swiss Beatz's son named Egypt. He the one that made the beat on Kendrick Lamar's album.
Yeah.
That Untitled and Master. The little boy made a beat on that album.
Yeah, I remember when that was.
You get him, hey, look, bro, you doing the right thing. And you steering, you know, you fostering, because steering, your father steered you away from the streets.
Yeah.
But when you foster what they like, come on, man. Because age is only a qualification for drinking alcohol in America. You feel what I'm saying? Right. Because kids be geniuses.
And
people be geniuses. Yeah. But once you tap into what they like,
yeah.
Come on, man, fostering, you know what I'm saying? But since your kid's named Cairo Egypt, man, I want to leave y'all with this. And this is something I want y'all to think about. Right. Do y'all think that before they was told that people in Africa call Africa Africa?
No, people in Africa don't call Africa Africa.
Yeah.
No.
And Egypt wasn't even called Egypt. It was called Kemet.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, man. White people name everything and people just
it's named after
it,
a white man. Africa is named after you see what a white man.
Yeah. The motherland.
Yeah.
Is named after a white man. Not even a mother. You feel what I'm
That's
saying?
That's why I felt doggone Boys in the Hood when he say, nigga, I ain't from Africa, blood. I'm from Crenshaw Mafia.
Because like, oh, what's going on right here?
Yeah, because this what's going on right here. Yeah. If they want to get at us, man.
How they get at you on Instagram and stuff? You got your own website and everything?
I don't have my website right now, but I plan on building one soon for my photography especially. But on Instagram, I'm The Gods Are Watching. I believe I'm the same thing on my TikTok, but I'm probably not even
Break that, slow that down. You the what?
The Gods Are Watching, but, except.
It's an X instead
of the O. It's an X instead of the O, yeah. I crossed out the vowel and the gods, but The Gods Are Watching.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
And then.
Send that to me, Chief.
I thought I said to you, yeah, man. If they want to get at us, man, go on the YouTube.
On the
man.
YouTube, become man. A subscriber. The Connected Experience podcast visuals, you know what
just
I'm saying?
Become a subscriber. You can get to everything else. From there.
Yeah. Okay. Or go to Tubi, type in Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle, animated. That's the internationally awarded anime full-length feature film that we put out. That is an adaptation of the book by the name Animal Instinct, The Urban Jungle, written by me, S.L. Jackson. Or you could go to Everything Shelby and join my baby book club, pick up some of her merch, pick up some of her books, new books by her coming soon. She becoming her own author now. I'm just like, on more of a consultation type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm letting her get her shit off. You know what I'm saying?
I'm happy you're doing that.
Yeah.
Step back up, nigga. Let her, let her breathe, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Shout out to my babies too, man. Ava, Ayana.
Y'all got that Venus flytrap joint going. Venus flytrap war. So if you got one, show them. You know what I'm saying?
We just having Venus flytrap wars, bro. If you got one, up it. Let's see how big your shit is. Let's see if your shit healthy. We just got ours though. So her name Matilda. We fostered it.
You have an actual Venus flytrap? My son just asked me, could we get one?
Cause man,
Venus flytrap. Where you get one from?
Well, I tell you where. You know, right, sure. I tell you where. But you know, but cause my youngest daughter, she's super into science, bro. So she be looking that stuff up. Listen, we do stuff science based. Every weekend, at least two projects.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? She got like a book, and we just go through the book.
Oh, that's
and we
hard.
Make sure we got the materials and stuff. So either twice on Saturday or one on Saturday and one on Sunday. But I tell you, man.
That's great parenting,
it's,
man.
It's different places you can buy them, but you can get them. But that get her something to do. Like I told her, you got to water it, but you can't drown it because you can drown plants. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
I do not have a green thumb at all.
Yeah, so you got then we go repot it because it's very small right now, but then we go repot it. And then eventually, if it get big enough, we go put it in back of the garage because that's enough light where it won't burn it out. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, it's just dope, bro. Being a father is like the dopest thing.
How many you got?
I got two and one on the way. By the time this come out, I have another baby. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Yeah.
It's a few weeks out.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, and we waiting to see if it's a boy or a girl. We talk.
It's big with us because.
You feel what I'm saying? So neither one of us got no boys.
Yeah, see, and we identical twins. So by us being identical twins, we actually have the exact same DNA. So our kids are siblings. I got a daughter, but like, so we got three daughters right now.
They're
so
not cousins.
They're siblings.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And something else, another little fun fact, that same little situation that happened with your dad with the two kids, same age joint, we got identical twin sisters that's 8 months older than us.
Yeah.
Because our dad had twin sisters.
Twin.
They're just popping out twin.
He was a twin, but his brother died at birth. And you know what's crazy? He didn't find that out till he was grown, going to get his birth certificate. And they gave him the birth certificate.
And it had his brother on there.
Yeah, and he was like, this ain't me. And my uncle was like, yes, it is. Like, what you ain't know that? He said, no. Like, I guess he the only nigga who ain't know.
Yeah, I'm Santuan.
I'm Antoine.
I want for my brother what I want for myself.